Well, let me give you a warm welcome to our service today at East Mains Baptist Church. It is the first Sunday in July, Sunday the 5th of July, and may God bless you where you are. In our service today, we're going to hear from one or two people in the church family about what they've been up to during lockdown, and I trust over the last few weeks you've really appreciated this part of our service. You know, although we can't be together as a church family, it's been so helpful and so encouraging to hear and see different people from across the church family. And I trust that it's helped us pray for each other a bit more as well. So today we look forward to that, because we've got another one or two people going to share with us and a really exciting announcement about the upcoming holiday club as well. But today we'll also spend some time worshipping God and bringing our praise and our adoration to Him. And Jim Dyack is going to lead us in that time. And then our lead pastor, Mark Kearney, later on, begins a series of studies with us today in the life of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham to follow Him. And how Abraham responds to that call. He follows God. He chooses to follow God in his life. And I just pray and hope today that for each of us, we might make that decision as well afresh, to know what it really is to follow God. He is a God who loves us, who cares for us, and who has the best for us and a plan for each of our lives. And may each of us know what it is to respond to that personal call that God places in our lives today. But now we're going to hear from one or two people in the church family about what they have been up to during lockdown and some exciting stuff about the upcoming holiday club as well.
Hi everyone, my name's Caitlin and I'm one of the young people in the church. When lockdown started, I was coming to the end of my sixth year in high school, and it was very strange going from the busyness of school, getting prom ready, doing hires, advanced hires, to everything coming to a complete stop. Thankfully, I had a place in college doing art and design, which I know God has blessed me with, and I am so excited to be starting after the summer. However, lockdown, although it's been difficult at times, I've really grown in my faith and knowledge of the Bible. I now regularly read my Bible, and attending my life group Merge has been so great in leading me in the right path, and it's been so good having a great support system. I've also really enjoyed listening to online sermons and new worship music. Being nervous about what the future holds for me and what's going to happen has been difficult at times, but I've really felt God's comfort from the readings I've done. A verse that stood out to me was Psalm 46, verse 5, which is, "God is within her, she will not fall." This has been such a comfort, is it's really shown me that no matter what happens, God has me and He has a plan for me. Me and a couple of the girls in church have just started reading The Girl Deconstruction Project by Rachel Gardner, and it's already been so good. We've really grown closer together and I can't wait to finish it. I'm also really thankful for being able to spend time with my family. Although it's not always been nice and peaceful, it's been fun. I've also enjoyed trying out embroidery and making earrings and also practicing painting and drawing. So I hope you're all well and I hope that we can see each other soon when church starts back. Bye!
it's always good to hear from others in the church family. And let me encourage you as well to be praying into the Holiday Club as it commences on the 14th of July. A really encouraging response of the amount of children that have signed up so far. So please, let's be praying into that, that in these different times, as we do the Holiday Club differently, that God will still be at work drawing boys and girls to himself. Let's just take time at this point in our service to pray. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we can come and worship you today. Wherever we are just now, Lord God, maybe in our homes, sitting watching this, we thank you that you are with us. You are a God who is with us, one who said he would never leave us nor forsake us. So we thank you for your presence today, Father. We thank you that you're a loving God, that you have forgiven us, and that you've placed that call in each of our lives to follow you. So we bring you our worship today, Father. And as we move into a time of worship to you, and then into a time of hearing your word as well, Lord, may our hearts just be respondent to you, be in tune with you, with what you would want to say to us today. Lord, we commit the church family to you, and thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you have poured on us at East Mains. We thank you, Jesus, that you're still building your church today, and may your hand be on each church member. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we head into a time of worship to God, you know, one of the things that we usually do when we're together in church is give to God financially. And obviously we've been unable to do that over the last few weeks. And if you feel that's something that you would like to do, then that opportunity is still there for you. And you can do that through the church website. And again, that is part of our worship. It's part of our response to God. So if that's something that's been on your mind, then I would encourage you just to go to the church website and just look at the information there, and it enables you to give to the work of the church and to the service of God at East Mains and in the local community as well. I'm just going to hand over to Jim now, who's going to lead us in a time of worship before Mark then leads us in God's word.
Forever I got is glorified. Seven. Hello everyone, and thank you for joining us today, and thank you to our worship team for leading us in that time of worship together. The Bible begins in the book of Genesis, and we read in Genesis of God creating this world, and that it was good. God was well pleased with what he had created. And in many ways, the pinnacle of his creation was indeed human beings. And we see quickly things, though, start to turn for the worse. If you read in Genesis chapter 3, you know, we read of God's great gift to humankind being free will. And yet we see the first man and the first woman taking that free will and disobeying God. And we read in Genesis 3 of sin entering the world. And this beautiful world just changing so drastically because of that. And then we read on in the chapters, and you know, chapter 4, we read of Cain murdering his brother Abel, and things spiral out of control with human beings. Chapters 6 and 8, God intervenes and floods the whole earth, and only Noah and his family survive. You know, but Noah himself, we read on, is not perfect. He takes that free will again, and he gets drunk, and he lies naked, and his son discovers him like that. We get into Genesis 11, and the people of the earth are thinking, you know what, we can build a big tower, and the Tower of Babel, and God intervenes and sends confusion and mixes up the languages. And you get to the kind of end of Genesis 11, and things look pretty grim for humankind. But God had an incredible plan. He was about to pluck a couple out of obscurity and give humanity a new hope. And who were this couple? Abraham and Sarah. And God in Genesis 12 takes them on an incredible journey of faith and trust. You know, the writer to Hebrews in the New Testament sums it up well for us. The writer says this in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. So starting today, we're going to go on a walk through the life of this amazing couple, Abraham and Sarah. As we're going to journey with them as they go in faith. And we will find them to be very real people. They make good choices. They make bad choices. You know, we're just going to walk with them and see what we can learn from them about our own journey of faith today. So we've called this new series, The Faith to Go. I know we decided many months ago now we were going to preach through the story of Abraham over the summer. And we did not know at that time that we would have gone through what we've gone through and still face so much uncertainty because of coronavirus. And when we come into the journey of Abraham, we'll see there's a lot of uncertainty. And so we'll identify with that. And I do truly believe God's just going to speak into our lives these months ahead, into our real lives, about what it is to live by faith and to trust in him. A bit of background then before we read our text. And then we'll look at the call of Abraham, the covenant that God made with him, and the start of their walk of faith, which required them to walk out, walk in, and walk on with God. A quick side point, when we're reading from the scriptures earlier on, Abraham is known as Abraham, and Sarah as Sarai. You know, so when I'm reading the Bible, I'll use those terms, but when I'm talking about them, I'll just talk about Abraham and Sarah, because that's how we often refer to them. So in Genesis 11, 27 to 32, we are introduced to Abraham's family. His father, Terah, his nephew, Lot, his wife, Sarah. They've not been able to have kids. They're living in Haran, which is modern day Iraq. We know from Joshua chapter 24, verse 2, that Abraham was brought up in a culture where they worshipped kind of mystical, false deity, kind of superstitious kind of gods, particularly the moon god Sin. We're probably talking around the Bronze Age, 2000 BC. So that's just a little bit of background. Let me read to you now from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will bless you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From then he went on into the hills east of Bethel, pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. Father God, as we start this new journey in your word, looking at the life of Abraham and Sarah. Very real people with real struggles and real ups and downs in their lives, Lord. And we've got so much that we can learn from them about what it is to walk in faith and to trust you and to go in faith. And so, Father, I pray for each of us as we start into this new series, that your word would speak into our lives, that you would just strengthen our faith as we do look into the life of faith that Sarah and Abraham lived. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The call of Abraham. There's Abraham. We see him going about his life. Probably like most people, there was good things in his life and challenges in his life. Like his father, he would have been worshipping kind of these mythical deities, hoping that they would bless his life. Then one day, the creator of this world, the living God, comes and reveals himself to him. Now, what had Abraham done to attract God's attention? Was he a good man? We don't know. Did he worship God? Doesn't appear to be so. God chose him and gave him a command. Leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household. Go to a land that I am going to show you. Now imagine sitting around the dinner table that night. There's Abraham and he says to Sarah, I got something to tell you, but we're leaving town. She'd have been like, what? And then he would have been saying to her, see all these gods that we've worshipped for years. They're not real. I have met the living God. She'd have been like, what's going on here? You know, and some of you can relate to what that would have been like. Some of you have gone home to family and friends and said to them, I've got something to tell you. And they've been like, what? And you're like, I believe in Jesus. And they've been like, what? What's happened to you? You know what it is to share dramatic news, life-changing news with people that weren't expecting it. That's what Abraham does here with Sarah. He'd been like, life-changing news that he shares with her. So God calls Abraham and he gives him a promise. There is a land I will show you. And this promise would be affirmed through a covenant. God is going to make that God is going to make with Abraham. And when God calls Abraham, he has a plan for his life. He's called and he gives him a promise. And this is nothing that Abraham, that we can see that Abraham has done to deserve this. And when we think about it, we think about our own faith journey. Now, it starts with grace. God and his grace meets us right where we're at. The invitation of Jesus is for us to come just as we are, no matter where our life is, no matter what we're worshipping at the time. It's that invitation to come to Jesus and receive a new beginning. And through Jesus, there are promises that come straight away into our lives. Abraham received promises straight away. We receive promises straight away. One of them being the total forgiveness of all our sins. So Abraham is called by God, and God makes a covenant with him. This is a really important word in the Bible, this word covenant. In very simple terms, we might call it like a binding agreement. And we read in the Bible of different examples of covenants. There are what we might call conditional covenants, where God says to, like the people of Israel, of whom Abraham is the father, you know, God will say to him, okay, you're going into the promised land. If you do this, if you obey me, then I'll do this. That is a kind of a conditional covenant. But the covenant God makes with Abraham is unconditional. There's no, here's what you need to do for this to happen. You know, let me read it to you again. This is God's promise straight into his life. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I know we need to unpack this just a little bit more, because it's so important to the whole story of Abraham and Sarah. First, as we see that God promise for Abraham is that he would be a great nation, the father of a great nation, referring to the Jewish nation. But remember, he's in his mid-70s, his wife's probably in her late 60s, and they've not been able to have kids. So there's a tension here that we will see playing out throughout the rest of the story. Secondly, the promise is that Abraham himself would experience great blessing. And thirdly, all the people on earth, God says, will be blessed through him. Staggering revelation of God into his life. There he is, all his family, his friends, the society he's in. They worship mystical, superstitious gods. God comes to him and he says, starting today, Abraham, I'm going to use you, as we read in Isaiah 42, to be a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind. All the nations would be blessed for this man. The hope of God that they would all look at Abraham's descendants and behold a people serving the living God. And these people would look at their statues and look at their false gods and think, wow, look what they've got. They've got a relationship with a living God. You know, many people today are, figuratively speaking, holding on to statues, looking for hope. And they need to see in our lives as the followers of Jesus that we have a relationship with a living God. And that is just amazing. And people need to see that. This covenant, though, is so important to Abraham. When you think about it, most of us don't like change. And we certainly don't like change without any sort of detailed plans. And Abraham is given no real clear details. To the land I will show you, he is told. And so there are two things that are so important to Abraham at this point. One, God is real. God has revealed himself to him. And secondly, God has spoken to him and made a covenant with him. When we bring this into our lives today, what was important to Abraham is still really important to us today. We need to be hearing God's voice in our lives. And we need to know we have a real and a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, with the living God. But also, promises are more important than details. You know, promises of God are a much more solid foundation than plans, because plans are always changing. I mean, right, we're seeing this right now. You know, a lot of things are changing every few days to do with how we're responding to coronavirus. And so plans always change, but the promises of God never change. And so promises are more important than details. So God calls this man out of obscurity. God gives him an unconditional covenant. He makes a promise with him. I will do this. Here's what I'm going to do. And now we see him starting to make these first steps of faith. We see him going in faith. Verse 4, we read these great words. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. He walks out. He leaves. He gets going. He makes those first steps. And he's not just walking out of his hometown. He's walking away from a lifestyle, decades of worshipping false gods. And he's walking away then of this lifestyle of worship to mystical gods. And in our lives, you know, there are steps. There are first steps where difficult decisions sometimes have to be made, where we realise this is how I used to live. But now God's asking me to live this way. I need to walk away, walk out of that, and walk into a different way of living. And that was very true for Abraham and Sarah. They had to leave behind their false gods because they now knew the one true God in their life. They were walking out of a lifestyle, of a place, you know, and decades of worshipping false gods. And a life of faith, you know, God will call you at times to walk out of one situation and into another. You know, we could all take verse 4 and add our own name. So, add your own name. Went as the Lord had told them to do so. And maybe today, you know, God's calling you out of something into something else. Abraham had to take those first steps of faith. And in case we're suddenly thinking, getting a bit starry-eyed about Abraham, thinking, oh, he's an amazing guy, which he is, but you have to remember he's a real person too. And you cannot miss the fact that he doesn't quite do as God had told him to do. He says he was told to leave his father's household, but we see he brings his nephew Lot along. And as we go on in the story, we're going to see that Lot gives them a few headaches along the way. Hard time, but it's hard, isn't it, at times, not to bring our past into our present. So we see then Abraham and Sarah, these early steps, they walk out. And Abraham went, he gets going. And let me just encourage you, if you know God's calling you out of something into something else, then take those first steps, make those first steps that God's asking you to do. But we also see that they walk into the will of God for their life. Verses 6 to 8, they come to the land of Canaan. This land, as far as we know, they know nothing about it. It's not like they've got a rough guide to Canaan that they've been able to read up about and think, oh, here are the places we've got to go. Here's what the culture like. This is completely alien to them. They are strangers in this land. And I love the way God just reassures them in verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, To your offspring, I will give this land. And so he builds an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. You know, I'm sure there are many of us listening here today that have stepped into something new that God has led us into. Maybe a new job, a new area of service, maybe a new land, maybe you physically moved to a new land. And you found yourself quickly thinking, what have I done? You know, I think I can almost picture Abraham standing there with Sarah, his household, this man who now believes in the one true God, this promise that he's been given to be a great nation and God would bless him through all the world through him. And he's probably looking at all the shrines that are for the Canaanite false gods, and he's maybe just thinking, what have I done? But we see in verse 7, God reassures him. He reassures him again through his presence and through his words. And I was thinking about this again. I was thinking, you know, about what, and my thoughts took me to Acts 18, where Paul comes into Corinth. And not an easy situation, much like Abraham, much worship of false gods going on and a lot of real difficult stuff happening in Corinth. And God speaks to him. God speaks to Paul in a vision and reassures him. Let me just read these words to you in Acts 18 from verse 9. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack you and harm you, because I have many people in this city. We see how God reassures him, Paul, through his presence and through his words. You know, there have been so many times through the years, I don't know how many times, I know I've sat with fears and confusion and uncertainty and found that quiet place to just be with God and to open his word. And so often, he has brought reassurance into my life as I've sat in his presence, listening to his voice. I wonder where you're at today. You know, let's be honest, there's still so much uncertainty around. You know, COVID-19 around jobs, around schools, around when will the church get back together. The great news is we've never stopped being together. We're just doing it in a very different way just now. So much uncertainty. And we need so much there for then. God's presence and God's word reassuring us today. But we see that Abraham builds an altar and he worships God. Maybe the first time ever in this land, someone has worshipped the true and living God. And he walks out. He walks into the land that God has called him to. And he receives assurance through the presence and the words of God. And then he walks on. Verses 8 to 9. He went on towards the hill east of Bethel and pitched his tent, we read. And he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. This is so exciting. Up until now, we read about God appearing to him. But now we see his faith developing. And he's built this altar and he's worshipping God. He's calling out to God. He's becoming a worshipper of God. And then in verse 9, he continues on towards the Negev. You know, it's been well said that if your feet are going, your faith is growing. And so starts Abraham and Sarah's journey of faith. They're called by God. A covenant is made with them. He walks out. He makes those first steps. He walks into the land that he was called to go into. And they walk on into God's will for his life. To finish then, what do we take from this today? The presence and the word of God lead Abraham. And this once pagan man believes and worships and starts a living in faith. The faith to go. And one thing that just jumps out at me so much from these opening verses is the faith to go always needs those two elements. The presence of God with us and the word of God speaking to us. And God may choose sometimes, like Abraham, to quite dramatically break into your life and share something with you. But often at times, we too, like Abraham, need to stop and, figuratively speaking, build our own altar, get our own time, find our own space to worship God and to hear his voice speaking into our lives. The faith to go, it is such an exciting journey. And in the weeks ahead, we're going to relate so much to this real couple. We're going to read about them making mistakes. We're going to read about them getting things right. We're going to read about God restoring them and helping in them. But right at the start of their journey, and right at the start for us, we're just reminded again that when we want to live by faith, God's presence and God's word is what we need to go. It's what we need each day. We need to know his presence with us and his word speaking into our lives. So let me encourage you, like Abraham, to find those places in your life where you stop, where you quieten yourself down, where you come into the presence of God, and where you open your Bible and listen to his word speaking into your life. To live in faith, we need the presence of God, and we need his word speaking each day into our lives. Let us pray together. Father God, we want to just thank you for how you've spoken into our lives today. We've just dipped our toe in this story of Abraham and Sarah. Lord, you called them. You made a covenant. And Father, I thank you that many folk listening today, they've heard you calling them, come to me, come to me. And Lord, we come just as we are. And Lord, when we come to you, we come into a relationship with you. And that is a relationship that has got, that then brings incredible promises into our lives. And the promises are way more important than the details of some of the plans that we may or may not. Plans change, Lord, but your promises do not change. You love us, you forgive us, you're there for us. You know, we've got eternal life. You'll never leave. It just goes on and on. The promises are just so many. And so, Father, we thank you for your call. We thank you for the relationship that we can have with you. And Lord, we want to just now go in faith and keep living for you. And Lord, I pray for someone today who you're maybe calling them to walk out of something, not necessarily a bad thing, it's maybe a job they've been in, or just some sort of change that you're asking them in their lives. Lord, may they be encouraged through this Abraham who left everything that he had known, you know, his land and a way of life, and walked out of that into what you had for them. Lord, help each of us to keep walking into and walking on into all that you have for us. Lord, thank you that your presence goes with us. Thank you that you speak into our lives. And Lord, I just pray that for each of us today, that we would just know more of your presence and more of your voice speaking into our lives. Lord, we just, as we're about to worship you again, we just open our hands to you and open our hearts to you and say, Lord, you are our shepherd. And your word tells us that your sheep will know your voice. You're the good shepherd. Lead us. Lead us on, Lord, into what you've got for us today and what you've got for us this week ahead. And strengthen our faith to go. And just pray and ask this now. In Jesus' name, amen. Jim and the team are going to lead us in a song of worship together. As always, let me really encourage you just to just take this time to be in God's presence and to ask God to speak into your life and to just go in faith, knowing his presence and knowing his words guiding you. As always, if there is any area of your life that you're needing help with at this time, please do get in touch with us so that we can chat with you and see how we can help you with whatever help it may be you are needing. Please keep phoning and keep connecting with those people around about you as well. It just brings so much strength and encouragement to people knowing that there's folks there for them at this time. So go in God's peace and just enjoy this time of worship now. And may God bless you greatly. Amen.
Life and soul. kitchen we pray. We will be ready for dawn of that day. We'll join in singing with all.
Thank you, Mark, for bringing God's message to us today, and Jim for leading us in worship as well. God calls people like you and me to follow him, to love him, and to serve him. And I trust that that might encourage us this week as we commit ourselves afresh to God. I would encourage you, if you can, to join us tonight for prayer at 6:30. If you don't have the details for that Zoom prayer time, feel free to contact any of the pastors or Albert, and we can get those details to you so that we can pray together as God's people. But may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this week. Amen.